You have a choice to make right now. And you've already made the most important choice, and that was is that you got yourself up out of the bed and dressed and showered. Yeah, it smells like most of you showered. But now your choice is whether you're going to enter into the presence of the Lord and worship Him, or if you're going to stand there and be entertained. You know, being entertained is good, but making a choice to enter into the presence of the Lord is the most incredible thing. Father, Lord, we thank You that we can come to Your house to worship You, to give You praise and glory. Lord, I thank You for this worship team, Father, Lord, that has worked hard to lead us into Your presence, and we choose.
Thank you that you have come. And even in Isaiah, you broke the yoke of our slaveries, Lord. You lifted the burdens that were upon us, God. You came so that we could be free. You came so that you could conquer and we could conquer everything through you, God. You have made us worthy. You have made us love. We thank you for your love, God. Thank you, Jesus. faith in Philippians. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for what He has done, what He's going to do, His promise. You will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we could ever understand. His peace will guard your hearts and mind as you live in Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit is within us. He brings us that peace. We ask Him for wisdom, and He provides. We ask Him for peace, and He provides. The Holy Spirit is already within us.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence known. I've tasted and seen of the sweetness of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone.
Your glory, God, is where our heart.
thank you for your presence and your spirit, God, that is already within us, Lord. That you speak on our behalf before we even acknowledge it, God. That you are already there with arms open wide, God, to touch our hearts and to touch our minds, Lord. We thank you for wisdom and peace, God, that overcomes fears and anxieties. We thank you for the burdens you have lifted upon off of us, God. We praise you, Jesus. We thank you. In your Son's name, amen.
Good morning. I want to say something about that song just a minute before I do. I want to welcome you here. If you're a guest, please pick up a free gift as you're going out the door. And if you're, as Will's already said, if you're interested in membership, we're having a luncheon next Sunday right after the service. And welcome to have lunch with us. All right, are you glad you're here?
Yeah.
Better being in jail. In the hospital. It's a good place to be. I grew up Pentecostal, and I thank God for my Pentecostal roots, but there were some misgivings along the way with different things. But I love this song because it tells us just to be aware. See, he's always here. He's always present, and it's our awareness of that that counts. If we're not aware of that, then we can miss it. I mean, has ever been in the same house with the same person, but you're not aware of them? You ever felt like they weren't aware of you? There's a difference. You can be in a house full of people and not be having anyone around. God can be all around us and we're not aware of who he is and where he is. But how many know he is everywhere? And he is in everything. God in all, through all. The scripture. Always. One of my favorite things I get to do from time to time is introduce you to somebody you already know very well. We're in a summer series called Relational Wholeness, and God just laid it on my heart to take some time off this summer, not to go away, but I'll be here, but to have a lot of different speakers, and I did that purposely, and one of the reasons was I want you to hear from different people about relationships, and when this series is done, you're going to hear from about 8 different people speaking on wholesome relationships. Now, what I love about that is I haven't gone outside and brought one guest speaker in. It's been right here in this house. And if there's one thing I'm super proud of in this house is the maturity of the believers, the people who have loved God with all their heart, their mind, their soul, and their strength, and they have become true followers of Christ. They have become not just Christian per se, but disciples. How many know the Lord called his followers disciples because they followed him? And so I am so thrilled to introduce Mr. Joey Grubbs, a great man, and you're going to be real blessed.
Thank you, sir. Well, good morning. There you go. I want some feedback today, okay? I want to be able to hear you. I want this to be an interactive time. What I want to bring to you, first of all, is an energy level. I want to be energetic this morning. And I'll be more energetic if you give me some feedback, okay? When you hear something that's good and it speaks to you and makes your spirit jump, Ralph, I want you to say so, okay? You say so, because when you do, what that does for me as being the speaker up here is like saying, sick them to a dog, okay? It's more energy that's released and it comes out, and I want to encourage you to do that. I want to tell everybody good morning, and I want to give a special thanks. I see my good friends, my brother and sister, Donna and Jeff Williams in the back there. They're brand new grandparents. I'm glad to know that they put me ahead of that grandchild and came back home to hear me speak. No, that's not right. Thank y'all for coming. Thanks for you, everybody, for being here. I'll give you a little update on Mojo Ministries that is up and running and doing its thing. I'm having a great time. I'm telling you, I've always liked getting up in the mornings, but I really like getting up in the mornings right now. I do. I like getting up in the mornings. And I got some good stuff happening. And I want to encourage you, I have a Facebook page, Mojo Ministries, where I post on there every morning. If you're on Facebook, please go like the page so that you'll get the post every morning. And if you're not on Facebook, go do it just for that, because you'll be glad, and I'll be glad to hear from you. One of the things that will be coming out, something that dropped in my spirit yesterday, and I haven't even shared this with Kitty. I haven't got her approval yet. She is the CEO. But anyhow, in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to offer just a group class, and I'll put it on Mojo Ministries of when that will be and the time and everything. But what it's going to be about is the school year is about to start. And what dropped in my spirit the other day was that I want to be a part of giving some energy out to people on how to talk to their kids with school starting back. I want to be part of an energy for them, for the teachers that are going to be imparting in these kids every day, for the parents, for grandparents. So it's going to be open to everybody, but the group is going to be about how you communicate, how you start this off on the right foot, what your mindset is like, what you speak into them, what your expectations are for this coming year. You know, we've always heard the statement, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. But let me tell you something, most people that finish first start good. So that'll be out there, so look for that, and I hope to see you here. I thought it was real interesting that when I was scrolling through Facebook yesterday, there was a lot of announcements about today. And I believe Holly Brown, she had a post that said that there was superhero training going on in the kids department, or you could come to the big church. And I thought about that this morning, so what I want to announce to you is there's superhero training going down here today too, okay? It's going to be for you. So I want you to stick with me. This morning when I was putting my final touches on this thing, and I'll just tell you, I struggled with it. Kitty will tell you. And Ralph, I let all four moods swing through me yesterday. Because I had started on this a couple of months ago, actually, when Buren first mentioned it to me. I started a document, and when phrases or words would come to my mind, this is how I do it. I just go write it down. And then I come back to it when it gets close to time, and I try to put things in order the way I want to word it and the way God tells me to word it. And so I had it all done yesterday, and then I went upstairs in my office, and I sat down at my desk, and I told Kitty I needed to tweak it a few minutes. 5 hours I was up there. 5 hours. And see, what happened was I got up there and I started second-guessing myself on stuff. I started reading things and thinking. But then the Spirit spoke to me about the fifth hour, probably sooner than that, and I just wasn't listening. And the Spirit just said to me, he said, you just go do what I'm going to tell you to do, okay? You're trying to do too much here. You're trying to do way too much. You just put down what I've told you so far, and when you get up there, I'm going to give you what to say, okay? So that's what I'm doing today. I got up this morning and went upstairs and took a lot of the stuff out that I had added yesterday because I thought that's not what I'm supposed to do. So here we go. All right. My topic this morning is on relational wholeness. My topic is something that you don't normally think about it as being relational, but it is. And I'm going to talk about money. All right. As we go forward here, I want you all paying attention to stay with me now. I don't want to have to pause like that. Okay. I want to talk about money. We don't normally think of money as something that it's relational, but it is. The title of my speech this morning is Money, Our Words and Actions That Make or Break Us. I want you to follow the instructions and expect the best. That's what's going to happen this morning. So my first question for you this morning is, what is your relationship with money? What's your relationship with money? Does money treat you right? You treat your money right? Are you good on terms, or does it seem to just disappear when you need it most? Do you often sit and wonder how you got where you are? Why am I always short? How do I make it better for me? See, money is relational. I want to look at the definition for relationship and wholeness. It'll come up. Relationship, the way in which two or more concepts, objects, or people regard and behave toward each other. That's money. Read it again. The way in which two or more concepts, objects, or people regard and behave toward each other. The definition of wholeness is containing all components, complete, not divided or disjoined, not wounded, injured, or impaired. See, we have a relationship with money. That might describe some of you, your financial situation. So the question for you this morning is, what is your relationship with money? Now, I'm going to help you with it this morning. I got to thinking about as I started this message, because this message is, in essence, a message on prosperity. Okay? Now, I read things and I hear things, and there's a lot of things said about pastors that they put in this bucket and call them prosperity preachers. And every time I read that, I think, what other kind of preacher would you want? what other kind of preacher would you want? Everybody that has kids, do you want your kids to be prosperous? Of course you do. And see, God's no different than that. God's no different than that. That's what put that inside of you. That's God in you saying, I want my children to be prosperous. He wants the same thing for you. Now, the problem is that sometimes we misunderstand the word prosperous. The problem is that we take prosperous and give it a different definition to it. See, prosperous doesn't necessarily mean that you become rich and wealthy and better than other people. That's not what that means at all. Prosperous puts you in a position to be able to help more people. Prosperous puts you in a position to where your world becomes peaceful. Drama disappears. All of those things happen. That's what prosperity is. I know when I mentioned that this morning that I'm talking about money, I know how it is in church because I sat right there before too, listening. And when the pastor usually says that the message is about money, what happens? Turn it off. See, most of us start trying to plan our week next week and let this, we'll just work it out and go through this little message here. All right? I want you to pay real close attention this morning because this is a different word on money. Not that my word's any better than anybody else, but this is the word God gave me for today. Okay? So I want you to pay close attention because there's a message in here for you. When I got the revelation for what I was going to speak about, because when Buren called me and told me what he was going to do and with different people and he asked me to be able to speak, I started thinking about what I wanted to talk about in relationship. Everything went through my mind, from the marriage to friends to your work and all kinds of stuff, but money just kept coming to me. And I'll tell you that I'm an early riser, but I'm going to share a statement with you that came to me early one morning. It was right at 4 o'clock in the morning. I looked at the clock. It was right at 4 o'clock in the morning. And it dropped in my spirit. And when it dropped in my spirit said, get up and go write this down. It was 4 in the morning. Again, I'm an early riser. I don't have a problem with getting up early. But on that particular day, I decided I'll do it when I get up, not right now. And I couldn't go back to sleep. I finally got up, went upstairs, and wrote it down on the computer. And that was my confirmation to me that this is what this needed to be about. And I'll share that with you in just a minute. Now, whenever we're talking about money, like I said, most of us want to disappear or disengage. And at this point, I was going to give everybody permission. If you don't want to hear the message about money, now would be the time to get up and leave. But I decided not to do that. I decided not to give you that chance. And now I'm really going to put the pressure on you, because if you have to go get water or go to the bathroom, everybody's going to look at you like, okay? So you might as well just buckle your seat and stay in here for a few minutes, okay? All right, here's the question for you, starting this off. How many here want more money and want to be debt-free? I'm going to ask this question one more time, because obviously there's some people not listening, or they're already there, okay? How many people want more money and want to be debt-free? All right, you go ahead and clap. Let's go. Yeah, that's what I said. I want us to get excited about this. Now, because it can happen. It can absolutely happen. And what I'm going to share with you this morning is how to get there, a little bit at a time, and what God's plan is for that. Now, one of the things that I think about, because I knew how many hands were going to come up, it wouldn't matter where we went, hands are going to come up. Here's a question for us again. I got a lot of questions this morning. If we all want that, why don't we have it? If that's what we want, why don't we have it? What's keeping us from having it? The answer is going to be shortly here in Scripture, and you'll find out where it's coming from. My Scripture for this morning is a partial story of Naaman, and I would venture to say that probably I've never heard anybody use this Scripture about money with Naaman, but this is what came to me. This is part of what Spirit dropped into me, and as I read it, it came to me exactly the way it was supposed to be. So I want to read that starting in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 8 and 11 through 11. When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message. Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed. But Naaman went away angry. And he said, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord of his God, wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Now Naaman you don't know the story, I hope you do, but Naaman was a mighty warrior. He was a commander of an army. You didn't get to be a commander of an army by peeling potatoes, okay? He was a commander of an army because he was a mighty warrior. He was thought highly of. He held a very high position under the king. He was the commander. An amazing man. But the problem was he had leprosy. He had leprosy. And leprosy was changing things for him. So he wanted to be healed. So before this verse is where he was trying to find out what to be done. And he was told to go and have the prophet speak over him. So here's the thing. And here's the answer to what happened of why we don't usually have more money and debt-free. It's usually because, or it is because, of our attitude. It's because of our mindset. It's because how we think. You see, here's what happened here. Naaman had a disease and he needed to be healed. He went to the prophet as he was told, and the prophet sent him the instructions to be healed. And what did he do? He acted like a child. He let ego get in his way. See, in the next verses after that, Naaman actually made a statement because the prophet told him to go dip himself in the Jordan 7 times. Now, the Jordan River was a very muddy, dirty river. It was not clean. It was not a clean river. Naaman, in the verses before this, he named 2 more rivers that he would have been willing to go to buy himself in and to get cleansed. See, he put conditions on the instructions that were given to him to be clean. He put the conditions upon the instructions. He wanted to change the instructions. He wanted to change the instructions. See, he let his ego take him to a point that said, evidently, you don't know who I am. And because of that ego and that thought, he was willing to walk away with leprosy. Okay? Now, I want you to compare that to where whatever your relationship is with money. Because I'm going to show you 4 things that God has given us instructions on about how to handle money and to how to be prosperous, to make it work. And all you got to do, this is simple, is follow those 4 things. If you follow those 4 things, it will change your world. Absolutely change your world. So what I want to challenge you with now and even a little later on this, don't be like Naaman. See, don't change the instructions. Don't let your ego get in the way. Don't let any of those things happen. You know, his response, doesn't that sound like a childish statement? You ever had your children where you tell them what to do, but they want to change it? I want to do this. I don't want to do that. That's right. That's what it is. One of the reasons that he let ego get in his way is this, because Naaman, because of what he said about the river, he was more concerned about what people would think about him by going to the Jordan River, by following those instructions. See, because he named the other 2 rivers, he is already ahead of this thing, thinking that people would have said, why didn't he go to over here? Why did he go there? And also his ego said that he didn't have the answer. The ego said that he wouldn't let go of, he didn't have the answer. Elisha had the answer. God had the answer through Elisha. He didn't want to let that go. So he decided to act like a child, to walk away, to not follow the instructions. Now, I'm not here to make anybody feel bad today. I'm here to help you awaken into something, okay? I'm here to try to stir something up in your spirit of where you are, of how you view money, what your relationship is to money, where you can ask yourself the questions, do I act like Naaman? Am I just not following the instructions? Do I need healing, but I won't go to the Jordan River? Is that what it is? Stay tuned. You see, Naaman received simple instructions, and he decided to react as an immature child. What I want to tell you this morning is God has designed our way with money in our relationship, and it's a very, very simple process. It is not complicated, not at all. It's allowing him to be in control, and I'm going to share those with you. But next, I want to share you part of what he said. I love Proverbs, and I've got 2 scripture verses I'm going to share with you from Proverbs that deal with money. Listen to this. Proverbs 21:5 says, Good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. How many of us always want to take the shortcut? We want to go the easy route, don't we? We want to go to the easy route. I shared with somebody the other day who came to me and was asking me about how to get an application for Delta to the front of the line. Okay? I don't know. But I offered them this because, see, it's different. This is what I told them. I said, let me tell you what I would do. What I would do is I would put an application in at Delta, and then I would go home and I would handwrite a letter and I would mail it to the employment office. And I would do that every week. See how different that is? You know how many handwritten letters they get in the employment office? Not very many. See what the difference is? But see what that is? It's extra. It's work. It's something a little bit different outside the norm. So you just use your creativity and say, how do I get my name to go to the top? See, you have stuff inside of you. We're going to talk about that a little later. But you have stuff inside of you that just needs to come out. So is our focus like a child not wanting to follow the instructions? Where in Proverbs it says, good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. The next one is Proverbs 21:20, and it says, the wise have wealth and luxury, but fools spend whatever they get. I have certainly felt in that category before. I've certainly felt in that. And again, this is not to make you feel bad. It's to awaken you. Okay? Awaken you. One thing that I share with people when I, because I have a couple of things where I do some stuff with life coaching with money, is I tell them, write down what you spend. Don't just assume. Don't just get to the end of the month and say, where did my money go? Know where it goes. Write it down. If you go buy a Coca-Cola, right, David Gamble, which is what you should get if you're going to go get a Coke. There you go. If you go write a Coca-Cola, write it down. And then at the end of the month, you can look and see where your money's going. You can see where it's going. But the only way to know it is to write it down. See, most of us, we want to take the shortcut. And we want to say, well, it must have went somewhere good. I don't want to have to go to all the trouble writing it down because I know I don't waste my money. Right? See, but that's a thought. It really is. It's a thought. It's how we look at things sometimes. So I want to encourage you to write it down. See, what happens is, and these two verses tell it, that we just seem to want to do things our way. Doesn't that sound like Naaman? We just want to do things our way, the way that we did it. We want the healing to come on our terms, but it doesn't work that way. You see, God doesn't parent the way that we do. God doesn't parent the way that we do. And I'll even bring it closer because I've been out of it for just a little bit as far as kids, but grandparent the way that we do. You know? Because see, as a grandparent, I overlook things. I overlook things sometimes. See, God doesn't parent the way we do. He has instructions and laws, and He wants us to follow them, and then we will be prosperous. And if we don't, then we get what we get. We did it. See, it's not anybody's fault because of where you are. Our decisions put us where we are. Our decisions put us where we are. We decide. We decide where to spend it. We decide not to keep up with it. And so then we're constantly wanting to know what happened to it. Well, you're not going to ever know unless you do the work. Try to keep up with it, and then you figure it out. And once you figure it out, man, it's like a light just comes on. Shows you things. I was helping somebody with some coaching that was trying to quit smoking. And so far, he's done really well. But this young man was smoking 2 packs of cigarettes a day. $300 a month for cigarettes. Now, I guarantee you, every time he lit up a cigarette, he wasn't thinking about $300. It went by. So, see, he's got a double whammy. Not only is he getting his health better because he stopped smoking, but he's got $300 more that he didn't even know was leaving him. He didn't think about it. It was just going because he wasn't keeping up with it. See, we decide what we'll do, and we just think God's going to be the good God that comes along and just says, oh, it's okay. Because that's how we parent sometimes. But again, that's not how God works things. All right. Our relationship with money has four parts that I'm going to share with you this morning. But I want you to listen to this statement first here. To change your relationship with money, you have to change your thinking. You have to change your thinking, no matter where you are. You see, we can all improve no matter where you are. If you're good with money right now, listen to this message, because you can be even better. You can be even better. Just applying the principles by paying attention really good. I'm going to repeat this several times, but this is the statement that God gave me at 4 in the morning. To change your circumstance, you have to be willing to change yourself. Not changing you sets you up to repeat the circumstance over and over and over again. Isn't that how it works? See, most of us may have been fighting this thing for a long time, and what's happened is we've just been repeating the circumstance over and over and over again, not changing anything. We're hoping, we're praying, all of those things. But see, if we don't change, nothing else will. And that's how it works. The first mojo for you this morning in the first of the four is God tells us to be thankful. 1 Chronicles 16:8 says, give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. Be thankful. Acknowledge the blessings of God. See, it's a positive thought to be thankful. It's a positive thought to be thankful. If you have a thankful spirit, you cannot be negative. You can't be negative. It's impossible to be thankful and negative at the same time. Doesn't work. See, they're opposites. So if you develop this thankful spirit within inside of you, it'll grow. That's the first step. It'll grow. This is the real first critical piece to changing your world. Now, we talk about being thankful all the time. It's preached here every Sunday to be thankful. And I've said this before in one of my talks. Sometimes we say we're thankful, but here's the question, are you? See, it's not just a matter of saying thank you. It's a matter of really identifying what you're thankful for. It's not just the words. You've had people say thank you to you that they just said it because that's the nice southern thing to do, right? Just a nice southern thing to do. To be really thankful is you identify what you're thankful for. When you start doing that, as Ralph taught me here, you start seeing God in everything. You see God in everything. Everything. I was sharing with a client the other day how there was a time not too long ago, if I was going down Maple Drive and I saw a squirrel on the sidewalk, I didn't slow down. I just said, that's a dumb old squirrel. If he runs out, he runs out. You can't stop him, right? You know how they are. But now, because I see things differently, I find myself putting on the brakes. I have come to a complete stop just to let a squirrel get on across that road. See, your whole world changes when you start looking at everything and being thankful for all of God's creation. Every bit of it. It all changes. That's the first critical step for us. So you got to be specific. Don't just say, I'm thankful. Don't just get up in the morning and say, thank you, God, for this day. That's a start. But be specific about things. I tell people sometimes I wake up in the morning and I start thanking God for my floor, for my carpet, for the tile, for the door, for the lights, for the air, for the heat, for whatever it is. I just start picking things out and just saying, thank you, God, for that. Thank you for that. Thank you. See, that's how it's done, is you got to be specific. When you're specific about what you're thankful for, you take your thankfulness to a higher dimension. You take it to a higher dimension. I want to make sure you get this, because when you focus on what you're thankful for, you'll receive more of what you're thankful for. It starts coming to you. It starts coming to you. It's the law. It's exactly the law. That's the way God intended it. See, I've been amazed. Working for Delta gave me opportunity to be able to travel and see things. I mean, I've been to a lot of places. And everywhere I go is just to see the creation of God and how beautiful it is. All over. Little bitty details. Little detail. All the way down to, I'm a kid kind of person, man. I like to watch little kids. I like to watch their faces. That's what I just try to focus on. I like to watch their face when they're in discovery phase, or when they're happy about things, or stuff that, man, it's just amazing. But when you're thankful and you're specific, it takes it to another level. I'm going to say this again. To change your circumstance, you have to be willing to change yourself. Not changing you sets you up to repeat the circumstance over and over again. Second mojo for you this morning is God tells us to give. You knew it was coming, didn't you? Talking about money. You got to talk about giving. You give back in obedience and love. Stick with me here. Luke 6:38 says, give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together, and make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. Those are the instructions. See, those are the instructions. That's what Elisha told Naaman to do. He gave him the instructions. That's it right there. That's the instruction for us. See, when we decide that we're not going to give, that we don't have the money to give, that we're not in a position to give, and we just take it and go, then we're not doing our part. See, that goes back to keeping up where your money goes. Did the money that you could be given go somewhere else? Did it? I know. Huh? You got to think about it. Because see, a lot of us, we take the trail that just says, well, I would like to give, but at the end of the month, I just don't have it. Just don't have it. But have you took the time to find out why you don't have it? Because see, God wouldn't put you in a position where you don't have it. God provides it to you. Because that's part of his instruction. And he tells us, if you'll just do what I tell you to do, this is what will happen. It's just that simple. It's that simple. See, we make it complicated. We make excuses. We come about and you have to change your thinking. Make sure you receive this verse because it plainly tells us what we need to do. See, if you don't follow that verse, this one, then you refuse the blessing. You refuse the blessing. If you don't follow it, you're saying, I don't want it. I'll just keep doing what I'm doing and not receive it. So I want to challenge you to try it. I want to challenge you to try it. I want you to make sure that this sinks in with you. See, God doesn't need your money. Never has and never will. It's just part of his law and the instructions for how for you to become prosperous. That's how he laid it out. He's not going to miss something because you don't give. Not going to miss out on a thing. You will. You'll be the one that miss out. And see, as your father, he looks at that and he wants you to follow the instructions. Let me bless you. Let me bless you. Just do it. Do it. I opened up with, you know, our attitude about when we hear a message that's going to be about money and we start changing our mind. And, you know, sometimes when the preacher says he's going to talk about money, we go, here we go again. Well, they're going to ask for more money. Here's the truth about that. And I'm going to say this and move on. If we gave the way we were supposed to do, nobody'd ever have to ask for money. You'd never hear us appealing to our congregation for more gifts. Because if we all gave the way we were supposed to, everything works. Everything works. See, it doesn't work when all the wires are not connected. If the wires are not all connected, it struggles. It has a hard time. The motor can't run smooth. And once we all get it and understand to give the way God wants us to receive the blessing that's the instructions he gave us, all of a sudden the motor runs smooth. Things start happening. It changes things. It changes things. So are you blocking a blessing to yourself by not giving this morning? See, it's a matter of being faithful and not being childlike like Naaman was. Let's finish the story about Naaman in verse 13 and 14. It says, Naaman's servants went to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed? It's a simple instruction. So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan River 7 times as the man that God had told him, and his flesh was restored, and it became clean like that of a young boy. Just like that. Just like that. See, the message for us this morning is, those first two that I've given you, be thankful and give. You do those things right there, it's immediate. Things will change for you. Your skin will become like a young boy. It'll be healed. It'll be clean. Everything will be there. Now, what happened? happened in these last verses is Nathan finally became honest with himself after being reminded by his servants of a couple of things. If we're not honest with ourselves, we'll never change. I'll make sure you hear that now. If we're not honest with ourselves, it'll never change. So you can tell yourself all kinds of things, but the truth is you got to be able to look in the mirror and ask yourself the question, is that right? Is that the truth? Is that the reason? Or am I putting it off on somebody else? You got to be able to be honest with yourself. See, honesty is the best policy. I read a story this past week. I love to tell stories. Here's my story for today. There was a CEO of a large company that was about, he had decided that his time had come. He was going to step aside. He was going to retire and enjoy himself. So he brought all his directors in. There were 8 of them. And he told them of his plans. He said, gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, what I'm going to do, I had to put ladies in there because it's not all about gentlemen, the CEO. But he said, ladies and gentlemen, what I'm going to do is I'm going to step down. And he said, I'm going to step down this time next year as CEO. And one of you in this room will be the next CEO of this company. He said, here's what I'm going to do, though, to make that decision. You're all very capable. You've all done a great job. That's why you're here. You do good work. He said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give each of you a seed. I want you to take the seed home and plant it. I want you to take care of the seed. I want you to cultivate the soil. I want you to do everything you need to do. And in 1 year from today, we're going to gather here together, and you're going to bring me your plants. And we're going to make a decision based on the plants that you have. So they passed out the seeds to everybody, and they all went home. One of the guys in the story, his name was Jim, and Jim went home. And he was worried. He told his wife, he said, I don't know anything about growing. I've never been a farmer. Don't know anything about any of this stuff. So they started doing some research, and they went and they bought a huge pot. They put the seed in it, and over the next several weeks, they watered it, they fertilized it, they put it in the sunshine. They did everything. And every afternoon, they would come home, and they would look at the pot, and there was nothing happening, nothing there. Now, Jim was going to work all this time, and when he started, after about 8 weeks, everybody in the office started talking about the progress of their plants. Everybody was telling them how big their plants were getting and how they were looking good and all this. And just every time Jim would hear those things, it was starting to make him feel like a failure. He started getting worried about everything. See, he had his opportunity and he's blowing it because he... So the whole year went by and all this took place. And week after week after week, him and his wife checked the pot. Nothing. They moved it to another house. Nothing. They did everything. Nothing would happen. Nothing came up. Well, the day finally arrived for them to all bring their plants back in and meet with the CEO. He's fixing to step down. Jim didn't know what to do. He told his wife, he said, I'm embarrassed to take an empty pot. I'm embarrassed. I'm a failure. I didn't get it done. But she told him, she said, Jim, here's the thing I want you to know. You tried. You tried hard all year long. Don't be ashamed of what you tried to do. Take that empty pot and go. So he did. He did like all of us. He did what his wife told him. So he went, and he took the pot, and he went back, and he went into the meeting, and when he walked into the room, everybody else had these pots, and the plants were flourishing. And there were different kinds. There were flowers. There were fruits. There were small trees. Everybody had plants. And everybody was looking at his pot, and everybody was wondering, how in the world? The CEO comes in, and he makes some comments and talks about the beautiful plants and everything. And then he has this announcement to make. He says, ladies and gentlemen, when I gave you those seeds last year, they were boiled seeds. They wouldn't grow. None of them would grow. And so he said, Jim, step up front here. And so Jim brought, he said, bring me your pot. He brought it up. And he said, I'm making my decision based on honesty. He said, the rest of you have brought in plants with seeds that I didn't give you. Because the seeds I gave you wouldn't grow. But Jim was an honest man, and he worked hard all year long, and he had frustrations, he had troubles, which is what a CEO is going to have, he's going to be. But he never gave up. He stayed with it. But here's the key. He stayed honest with himself. He stayed honest with himself. See, that's what you and I have to do about our relationship with money. You got to be honest with yourself. You got to be honest. You can go out and get another seed and plant it, and it looks good for everybody else. But it's not real. It's not real. See, that's why our money, and again, God's laid it all out for us. It's very easy. Follow the instructions. But we go do it our way. We go find another seed. We plant it. We grow it. God's blessed me. That's not of God. It's not. It's what we decided. I want to say some things to you this morning. Stop thinking that you're where you are because you haven't been lucky. Stop thinking that others have been blessed more than you. It's not about you being lucky or God favoring you over any of his other kids. He loves us all. He wants us all just to follow the instructions. If you do, you get what he wanted. You get where he wants you to be. I'm going to read it again. To change your circumstance, you have to be willing to change yourself. Not changing you sets you up to repeat the circumstance over and over again. Here's the third mojo for you this morning. God tells us to sow and to reap. See, God's law is constant. It doesn't waver. A law's a law. Exactly. Over and over in his word, he tells us that we are to sow and to reap. We will reap what we sow. We have to move. We have to do something. See, to sit by and wait for someone to come along and do it for you is the mindset that Naaman had. See, he wanted the prophet to come out and wave his hand across him. He wasn't willing to go to the river. He wanted Elisha to come out, hold his hand up, and heal him. Isn't that how we act sometimes? Where we decide that, yeah, we'll just let God bless us. I'm just going to wait on the blessing. I'm waiting on the blessing. And the whole time, the blessing is right there in his word. It's so simple. Follow my instructions, and it can be so. And you have it. So we reap what we sow, and you cannot reap until you sow. You have to plant, which is work. Movement creates movement. Movement creates movement. When I'm coaching people, Ralph does the same thing because I learned it from him. But when we're coaching is, something has to happen. Something has to happen. A good idea is a good idea, but it's just an idea until you put it in gear, until you engage it. You got to do it, so you got to go move. The fourth mojo for you this morning is God tells us to believe in ourselves the way that he does. See, there are no limitation in God's description of you. There's no limitation in God's description. You know how sometimes we meet people or we hear about people, and some people take the conversation with what they can't do? See, God doesn't do that. God is good and clear to tell us what you can do. And you can do everything. There's no limitations. See, we think a new job, a raise, a bonus will change our world, and it won't. The only thing that will change your world is how you think. That's it. It doesn't matter. I looked it up. Occasionally, I will buy a scratch-off ticket, okay? You never know. You never know. And when the lottery gets up to be $200 million, occasionally, I'll go give them a dollar and put my numbers in. It might hit. Who knows? You know what I looked up? See, because we think money will solve everything. Do you know that I looked it up this week? 70% of the lottery winners file bankruptcy within 4 years. 70%. 70%. See, the answer is not the money. It's how you think. It's how you think. But we're led to believe that it is. We all want to hit it. And if we hit it, everything's great. Well, for 70% of those lottery winners, it was good for 4 years. But they didn't follow the rules, see? That's right here in this work. They didn't follow Proverbs. They wanted to take the shortcut. I like to get money. Give me. Listen, when we're leaving today, if you want to give me money, I'll take it, okay? But I know that's not how I make my money. That's not how I make my money. And that's not how I will be prosperous and get to where I need to be. Don't let that keep you from giving me money. So you got to change the way you think. Stop finding reasons that you can't do something and find the reasons that you can. Stop looking for the reasons that you can't. You're focused on the wrong thing. It's inside of you right now, and it wants to come out. It wants to grow and to flourish, to bloom and produce fruit in your life. So here are the questions. What are the possibilities? What are the possibilities? Do you ever dream? Dream. Dream. Those are your possibilities. They are your possibilities. Go after them. Chase them. I'm going to read this one more time. To change your circumstance, you have to be willing to change yourself. Not changing you sets you up to repeat the circumstance over and over again. What changes are you ready to make? So you can change your world if you follow the instructions that God gave us. You're thankful. You give. You sow and you reap. And you believe in yourself. Those four things, very simple. You follow those four, write them down. Follow them. If you follow those four, your world will change. And I don't have any doubt in telling you that. That's not a maybe. That will happen. You can change your world. The basics for changing your finances are simple. We make it complicated. See, it's simple addition and subtraction. That's all it is. Adding and subtracting. You learned that in first grade. Don't make excuses. Do it. Make the change. If you don't make enough money, then you find ways to make more. You can. Or you find ways to need less. One of the two. Those two things have to happen. Make a plan. Be responsible. Change the way you think. Don't say words like, I can't afford it, or I'm poor, or I don't have any money. See, those are powerful words that will speak into your spirit. Don't use those words. Don't use those words. Don't say, I don't have. See, the first one that we said was be thankful. And if you're thankful, you'll realize what you do have. That's the difference right there. What I do right now is I inspire people. I'm going to ask you to do something this morning. I don't want you to be where you are now, 6 months from now, or a year from now, or 5 years from now. I don't want you to be in that same spot. It's a great opportunity for you to change this morning. I want you to be bold and put into place actions that will change your world. Be bold about it. Be adult about it. Don't let the ego and the childlike response that Naaman had fall into your life and to lead your life. See, this is all about laws and choices. Would you just start to have more courage today to let go of old habits and start living to your fullest potential? Because it's huge. It is huge. Don't use the phrase, this is going to be hard, if you're deciding to make a change. When you use the phrase, this is going to be hard, it will be. It will be. See, you change your mindset that it's not going to be hard. It's not going to be hard. It's a changing of the mind. It's changing your mind. Now make a commitment to stop making excuses. Stop wishing that life was fair. Stop blaming anyone else and be responsible. The results of following God's instructions are incredible. Leave the mistakes behind. Stop reliving them because they will keep happening over and over again. Change your relationship with money. Apply the principles we talked about this morning and follow the instructions that we were given. What I want to do this morning is, we're a church body. We're a family. We're a team. We're all in it together. Let me tell you something. I'm pulling for you. I'm pulling for you. What I do as a life coach is, man, I love it when they get it. I love it when you can see the light come on. I love it when they make a statement that says, I'm understanding this. There's an energy starts to go. So what I want to ask you this morning is this, is be bold. Stepping out and coming down here doesn't say that you've been doing everything wrong. Stepping out and coming down here says, I'm going to change things. I'm going to change the way I think. I'm going to change the way I think for a more prosperous me, for a more prosperous Eagles Way, for a more prosperous Griffin, Georgia. All of those things. So I want to ask you, please, if you'll stand for a second. I want to ask you to come down. If you want to change your life, you want to change your thinking, you want things to change for you, come on down. And I want to say a prayer over you this morning. Don't be afraid. Come on down. It doesn't mean you've done it wrong. It doesn't mean that at all. It means I'm ready. I'm ready to look at things differently. I'm ready to change some things. I'm ready to make a complete turnaround. I'm ready to build momentum. I'm ready to get excited. I'm ready to get excited for what's about to happen in my life. I'm going to get excited for what's happening in my community. See, it all starts right here. That's right. Come on. Come on. This is where it starts. Now, that's energy right there. That's energy. Keep coming. Come on down. Come on down. Let's make a difference here, Lord. Come on. See, it all starts with you. You have to decide right up here in your head, in your heart. It's going to be different. All right? So let's pray. Father, I pray for each one of these and those in this room, dear Lord. I pray for our minds and spirit that we'll be in touch with you, Lord. We'll be connected. The wires are all come together. We'll do things according to your instructions. We'll not let our ego get in the way. We'll not let any kind of thought of outside will get in our way and stop us, dear Lord. But the prosperity will fall upon us by following your rules, by doing the things that you tell us to do in your word, by trusting in you, by staying the course, by being bold, by being who you want us to be.
Yes.
Touch each one here this morning, Lord. I pray they receive it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, let's do it.
Good stuff. And key to it, you got to work it. You got to keep working. Just keep doing what he says, and I assure you that what he says will happen. Sees that. I usually just could quote this scripture. Now I can live it. I once was young, and now I'm old. Never seen the righteous forsaken, nor seed out begging bread. He supplies the need. Usher is going to be coming and receive our morning tithes and offerings. Thank you for your faithfulness. And after they do that, the last Sunday in each month is our special alms giving, and encourage you to come and just place money in the alms box. And this is to meet the needs of people that are having some difficult times. All of us in times in our life have gone through some difficult times, and we've been able to bless people. Aren't you glad you were able to do that? One of the biggest things we've done over the years has been able to help people through a tough time. You know what? I've seen over and over and over and over again that those we helped through some tough times became some great givers in the house of the Lord. So, Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for the privilege we have to give to you. I thank you that you are such a big God, and you're even bigger than we can even possibly imagine or think. Lord, you said that you would do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can even imagine or think, according to the power that works in the church for the glory of God. We give you praise for that in Christ's name.